Heavenly Father, once again, we come with thanksgiving. Lord, we come thanking you for revelation. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this great hour, Lord, knowing that the prophet said this is the golden time. This is the greatest time to be upon the face of the earth. Lord, it's a sad time for the world and for those that have rejected you, but it's a great time for the bride. And Lord, we want to worship you, Lord. We want to glorify your name. We ask that you would just speak to our hearts now as we go into the furtherance of this service. Lord, that you would just have your way. Bless those that are not able to be here, Lord. Be with Brother Gomba, Lord, as he's ministering there on the other side of the world. And Lord, your bride around the world. Lord, may you just draw us and guide us each one as we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We see it's good to see each one, and we just thank God for every opportunity. We're kind of getting back in the saddle now, and we had a good service and a good meal on Sunday. We enjoyed very much, and I want to say again, we really appreciate Brother Michael, Sister Amanda opening up their home and having the service there. It's an a real blessing, and we just thank God. I know we're really praying now for the building. It's coming along, and so there's still a lot to do, a lot of work and a lot of expense yet there, but we want to be just praying the Lord will just have his way, and seeing if maybe we can get together and maybe have some Saturdays or some evenings or something where we can help and be getting something done. And then also, and I hadn't said anything to anybody. I did just mention it to my wife today. But I was thinking that we might could maybe have an opportunity for the people to help on some of the expense, maybe have just like a building fund or something where anyone who wanted to donate something toward the building to help on that, they could just put it in an envelope and label it as that. I don't know if we have we don't have a building envelope just for that, but you could just write it on there what it was for. And I think that would be good because it's really a lot of expense. And so Brother Michael's been financing it thus far, and so you know, maybe we could just help some. And actually, Brother Benjamin texted me, and he's actually the one who put it in my mind, I guess, because he wrote me a couple days ago, and he said that he wanted to send some money to help on the building. And I don't have, I've been trying to get the Zelle. I don't have that app. I've been trying to download it, but my card that's related to that account went out and quit working while I was in Kenya. The new one apparently got lost, and so I haven't received that. So I can't open the Zelle account until I get the new card. And so I tried, but they're saying I have to have the updated one for that. So, but anyways, just be praying about that, and that God will just have his way. Remember Sister Edith, she's in Florida. And sister, the family, Sister Emily and the children, and for Bride, we're missing them. And so now we want to get right into this now, and we're gonna turn to Isaiah 64 and verse 4. And my wife kept telling me, said you're going to be hot standing in front of that fire, and I've been trying to burn them logs all day long. I put two big logs in there this morning, and I was trying to get rid of them, and I thought they would burn down, and you know, we'd just have the heat through the day, and they'd be gone by evening. And they have been the slowest two burning logs I ever had in my life. But they're okay. I'm okay. But I can feel them. And so we thank God. Now, Isaiah chapter 64 and verse 4, and I titled this The Keystone, and God doing a new thing in every age. And so I ministered some of these things while I was in Kenya. And I just thought I would just maybe spend a couple of services, two or three services on it, and just kind of go over some of these things. Some of you may already heard it, and the ones that were able to listen in, I don't know if anybody's got any of those messages. Have you, anybody been able to get any of those messages? I didn't think so. I think there was a couple, the one in Moringa, I think that one was posted to that group. And so Sister Shiko was able to get that. And but the rest of them now, I don't know if they're going to put them out on the group or what they're going to do. But I know they did record some of them, not all of them, but some of them. And so I had several people asking about it. So anyways, let me just start right there. So, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear, neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what he hath prepared for them that waiteth for him. Now, this was the prophecy by Isaiah, what God spoke to Isaiah. And it, I don't know if you have read it before, but you've read it many times in the New Testament. In the New Testament, Paul refers to this scripture. And so Paul is going to repeat it in a more modern way, a little bit maybe easier to perceive. And then he's going to interpret the scripture. And so in verse 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, but as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man, the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. And now this is a very common scripture to all of us. We very familiar. And many people, they still quote this scripture, and they quote it in the past tense. They still quote it as though it's still there as a prophecy for the future. But in verse 10, Paul declares this scripture to be made manifest. 1 Corinthians 2:10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So let me just, I want to read verse 9 again, and I want you to think about it. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So there, Paul is declaring that this scripture now is fulfilled, that this scripture is made manifest, and these people of his day are the manifestation of that. They are the beneficiaries of it. They have received the revelation, that which no man have ever thought of, no man has ever seen, no man has ever heard. Now Paul is declaring they've heard it, they've seen it. That it's been made manifest in their day. Amen. So that's a great thing. And so those things, that means if it never, because this is going to go with a phrase that we're going to read several times, and it applies to us today. But in this terminology here, when he says it's never been seen, it's never been heard, it's never been known, that is something that has been hidden from the foundation of the world. That's something that has never been known before. That's exactly what he's saying. And Brother Branham is going to take the same thing, and he's going to say that about the seven thunders. He's going to say it about the revelation. He's going to say it about the mysteries for us for this day. And so, but coming up to that, I'm going to, on Sunday, I want to take some scriptures. I want to go through on the Old Testament and show that it's been the same thing all the way through the scripture. That God, that's been God's pattern all the way through the scripture, was to be revealing something new in every age. That's the pattern. And so, and he's going to tie it to the scripture. He's going to give us the scripture that identifies the same. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man, which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. So it's the man knows man understands man thinks like a man, acts like a man, talks like a man. But he can't understand God. And then the spiritual man, he can only do that by the Spirit of God. And so that's, as we look at those things, it's always pointing to the new birth. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Amen. That's why we're given the Spirit. And that's what God is doing, so that we might know, so we might come to revelation. And so I looked at that terminology through the scripture, through the message, and that's been something, and that's actually Old Testament prophecy is speaking of, there would come a time that we would know, that we would know these things. And in the Old Testament, you find over and over and over where he says, in that day, in that day. He constantly was pointing them to a time. And it was coming all the way through a script, all the way through the scripture. I don't know, that might have been said hundreds and hundreds of times. But he was pointing them to something that's fixing to happen. Every one of those prophets were pointing to something that's fixing to happen. Something new was going to happen. And it was going on all the time, all the way through. And all the time, it was God going to show his people something. God going to reveal something to his people. Amen. And he says here, but the Spirit which is of God, let me, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Amen. We're not coming with theology. We're not coming with philosophy. We're not coming with an intellectual idea. We're coming with a spiritual understanding of what God has done in this day. And so that's the reason why that when we talk in another language. We talk in a language that we understand among ourselves. Because when we're talking about things, we're talking in the terminology that the prophet has spoken. And when a theologian comes along and he speaks everything like a philosopher and like an intellectual, and like those things, they go over our heads. They mess up the continuity of what God is revealing. And so sometimes what's being said can be exactly right, but it's got so much fluff sometimes till it's hard for the bride. You just keep it simple. Just say it like he said it. That's how that makes it easy for me. And when you dress it up and you say it this way and that way, then I have to look and look and look and say, is that saying the same thing? But if you say what he said, then I know it's the same thing. I understand it's the same thing. It doesn't confuse me like that. And so, the bride likes it like that. Verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And we know that. And that is one of the things that is, because we're going to talk about God has a pattern. And we're going to talk about Hebrews 13:8, that Jesus Christ is the same. And when he's the same, that means he does things the same. In every age, he does the same. One of the things that we know he does the same is that he began in Genesis with two brothers, and he revealed himself to one, and he didn't reveal himself to the other one. And that has been a pattern all the way through the Bible, that God reveals it to whom he will. He reveals it to the seed, to the elect, and to the rest, they're blinded to it. They can't see it. That's a pattern. That's how God is the same yesterday, today, and forever, because he does it the same way. Amen. Verse 15, so now, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, Yet he himself is judged of no man. Now we read this sometime some months ago, and I like this, and if you take this scripture and you produce it in the natural, you don't like being around that person. You don't like being around a person who judges everybody else but nothing about themselves. But this is not in the carnal. This is not in the natural. This is in the spiritual. He that is spiritual judgeth all things. Why? Because judgment begins at the house of God. And you're the house of God. And judgment begins right there. And you are judging yourself. And you don't have to be judged of anybody else, because it's the Word. It's the Word that's judging you. You don't need the judgment of man. You don't need man's ideas. You don't need theology. You don't need creeds. You don't need dogmas. You don't need none of that tradition. All you need is the Word of God. You're living by the revelation. And there's another scripture going to come at the end. I'm going to bring this back and let them go together. Verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Amen. And so that is, a lot of times we can be very indecisive. A lot of times we can think, oh, I don't know what to do. But I think we need to let our confidence be built up in scriptures like this, Amen. That we have the mind of Christ, that we think like Christ thinks, because we're dead to our carnal thinking. We're dead to man-made ideas. We're dead to traditions. We now, by the new birth, we have the mind of Christ. And so you think like him, you act like him, you talk like him. And don't sell that short. Don't let Satan take that away from you. Now, I had a couple notes to hear, and one is, God adds a new part in every generation. And God can do anything, anytime he wants. And this is something that I've seen over the years, and I've said it plenty of times, but that people put God in a box. That, you know, denominations especially put him in a box. That Brother Branham talked about how people said the Holy Ghost was for another day, healing was for another day, this was for another day, that's for another day. And this is what people do. And this is what they do with the message. That's what they do with the revelation. That's what they do with the seven thunders. They don't deny that it's there. They deny it's there. They say, yes, it's going to be. Sometime it's going to be. It's out there. It's in the future. It's going to happen. And so, but they're missing that it's already happened right beside them. And so God is continually unfolding himself. He's revealing more of himself. See, and he's always doing something new. And now we're going to read that out of Invisible Union. And Brother Branham says it several times in this message. So I'm going to read a little bit of it here at the beginning of the message. And then by Sunday or next Wednesday, I'm going to be reading out the same message again. And he's going to continue saying the same thing. Beginning at paragraph 62. Now, you cannot mix denominational creed with the Word, because they're two contrary one to the other. Denomination has separated the people from the Word of God. Didn't Jesus say when he come, you, through your traditions, have made the commandments of God of no effect to the people? So how does denomination separate the people? Because they interpret the Word. And when they interpret the Word, then they said, this is it. This is the interpretation. And when the people go with that, then they have to leave the Word. They separate. It separates people to an idea versus having the revelation. And so it's a separator. And through your creeds, we have disassociated, listen to this, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. This is what's happening in this day. Not just denominations, around the message. People believe God sent a prophet. They believe the seventh angel. They believe the Pentecostal age. They believe those things. See? But they have disassociated, because they made a creed out of it. They made it of non-effect. We have disassociated the fellowship of the Holy Spirit to anoint the Word of God that's laced out for this generation. Now, Brother Branham, he's going to declare over and over that God in every age has allotted a word. He's allotted a part of His word to be revealed, to be made manifest in that day. And the Holy Spirit comes on the scene in every age and vindicates that part of the word. And He don't vindicate any other part. He vindicates that part that's promised for that day. That's why when Jesus went in the temple, He opened up to Isaiah 61. He read verse 1. He read half of verse 2. And He stopped and He closed the book. Because this is what was vindicated. This is what the Holy Spirit was going to quicken and make alive to the hearts of the people of that day. He wasn't quickening that second half of the second verse. He was quickening what the prophet spoke. And so that has to be. That's what's been in every age. The Spirit quickens the promise of the day.
Amen.
See? Now, we have separated the people so by denomination that they cannot have a chance to see it. No, they're bound. They're bound, they're blinded because of what the denominations have done. The pressure, the peer pressure, the social pressure, every kind of way, any way that Satan can use man to bring the people under those ideas and feel obligated to those ideas over the Word of God, then that's where they get bound. Verse 65. Now God, He, in every generation, He adds a new part of His book. And it all goes together.
Amen.
Now this is a very clear statement. That God in every generation adds a new part of the book. And so that's what's been going on. He was adding a new part. He added a new part in Moses' day. He added a new part in Noah's day. He added a new part in Jeremiah and Ezekiel and Isaiah. Every one of them, a new part of the book was coming, a new part. And so, but all the time, people are coming back and saying, there can't be no more new part now because of this scripture or this quote or this saying. But Moses back there told him, said, now you don't add to this. You don't take away from this. This is the Word of God. And so as soon as somebody come along with more revelation, immediately they brought the Scripture. They brought the Scripture to fight this piece that God was adding. This new thing that God was adding. Now they're taking the Scripture of another day and saying that you can't do that now. And so it comes all the way into this day. Come all the way through the Old Testament, come all the way through the New Testament, and then here we are again. Verse 68. Now we find in this that each generation, God has lauded His Word from the beginning, just like evolution. So He's telling us, not like Darwin or any of these others that come up with these contrary ideas, but evolution. Like that God started creation and He was creating little by little by little until He completed the creation. Brother Branham said, it's just like the seed planted in the womb. He said, it's an evolution. He said, it starts in the spine. And then that little, that seed that's been quickened, He said, it begins to form, it begins forming a body and it adds and it adds and it adds, but it's evolution. And so, not evolution like science teaches, but evolution is a progression of the Word being fulfilled.
That's right.
Paragraph 70. So has it been. What? This evolution. So has it been in God and His church. Justification under Luther. That's pulling His bride out now. See? He's creating His bride. Now he started and then he jumped ahead to get us. Now he's going to back up now and bring the evolution. Justification under Luther, sanctification under Wesley, and so forth you see. He, the evolution of the Spirit, being given more and more, cause the body is building, coming to the head. Now, that's exactly what the prophet taught. That's exactly what he said. It was an evolution of the Spirit coming more and more and more. He said they had the Holy Spirit. He said they just didn't have it in the portion. They didn't have as much of it. And the same, the Spirit and the Word. He said they had the Word. Paul declared it was in part. And then the in part began to be a falling away. And it went into the ground. And they lost the revelation of water baptism. They lost the revelation of the Godhead. They lost so much revelation and of what they had. And what they had was only in part. But there was a promise that it was going to come back in its fullness again. And so that evolution began. It began. That resurrection, it began in Luther. And the Word began to be revealed. It began to rise. And so what was it? He just said, it was the body. It was the body, the body of the Word, the body of Jesus Christ that was building. And so that Word was adding. What was it doing? Revealing Christ.
Amen.
All the time. What was Luther doing? He was revealing Christ. But he was revealing him in a part of the body. Just a part. That part. Brother Adam said it was the thighs. He said, then Wesley come along, another part of the body. What's this body? It's a Word body. So some more Word came. Some more Word came. And so there Wesley was with the hands. And began to move. There began to be movement. And began to, there was a great work that was going around the world. And he said, then Pentecost come. That evolution. Some more of the body is being revealed. There was the tongues. See, there was the, what was it? It was the Word. It was the Word for the day. And the Spirit came and quickened that Word for that day. They couldn't have had that outpouring back in another day. They couldn't have done that in Luther's day because it wasn't that part of the body. That wasn't the promise. That wasn't what the Scripture promised was going to take place in that day. And so it couldn't come until that time. And that's why the Spirit never gets confused. The Spirit quickens that part of the Word that's prophesied, that's promised for that day. Doesn't get it confused. See? Because the body is building, coming to the head, which is Christ. See? The body of Christ. And that's where we are. See, God had to, this is paragraph 303, God had to open up those seven seals, not in a denomination. I've always been against it. See? But out of a denomination that he might take a bride. Not a denominational bride. He couldn't do it. It's against his own word. He opened those seven mysteries in there, see, that shows forth and brings forth those things that's been hid since the foundation of the world. Now, there is identifying right there, and he's going to say this a bunch more times. A bunch more times as we go along. We're going to read it in the Scripture. We're going to read it in the Message. He opened those seven mysteries in there that have been hid since the foundation of the world. Our prophet is doing the same thing that Paul did. Paul took Isaiah 64, verse 4, and said, it's done. You know it. It's been revealed to you. And people, no doubt people in that day, were still quoting Isaiah 64. Those priests, those scholars, those theologians, they're saying, no, but no, it's not entered into the heart of man. Nobody knows these things. It's been hid from the foundation of the world, and nobody has any idea. But there was a people walking on the earth. And to those people, it had been revealed to them that this Christ, that this Calvary, that this covenant, that all these things had been done, would begin to open their eyes and their understanding, and they begin to see the fullness of God in a man. It was being revealed. And our prophet is telling us that these seven thunder mysteries that have been hid from the foundation of the world, that they've been opened. They've been opened, and that they're being received by the people. See? That shows forth and brings forth those things that's been hid since the foundation of the world, that it might be revealed in the last days to sons of God. They brought that forth now before the people, that they see it there, you now, to this undenominational bride. Oh my, praise God. Now we're going to go back to the Scripture, and this is, we're getting Hebrews 13:8. This is probably one of the most quoted scriptures in the whole message. Been quoted, I guess, hundreds and hundreds. I think it was quoted, I'm not even sure, I think at least like 999 times, something like that, like 1,000 times. But there's probably many variations that takes it over 1,000. So, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ the same, yesterday, and today, and forever. Now, Brother Branham's, we're going to read now in the Church Ages book, and Brother Branham's going to say that this scripture could be called the keystone of the Bible. And he says it was a revelation. It was a revelation that was given to him, how that God don't change. Now this, we look at this as probably the most simple scripture in the whole Bible. The most simple, just, he's the same. And we say it just like that, he's the same, he's the same. But how is he the same? What is it? What is it about him that's the same? Because this scripture has been misquoted and misinterpreted by so many people in the message and out of the message, by denominationals and by message people themselves. And it's like many other scriptures. It reads one way, and you take it literally, as we read in Corinthians there, you take it with the carnal man's idea, and it comes out one way. And you take it with the spiritual mind, and it comes out another way. And so that's how the whole Bible. So this is on page 66, paragraph 1. In order for you to fully understand the message of the Church Ages, I would like to explain the various principles that allowed me to arrive at the names of the messengers, the length of the ages, and other factors involved therein. Since this study was to be the most serious one I had ever undertaken up to this time, I sought God for many days for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And then only did I read the scriptures on the church ages and evolve into the many church histories written by the most unbiased historians that I could find. God did not fail to answer my prayer, for while I read the word and the histories, I was enabled by the Holy Spirit to see unfold a pattern that runs through the centuries and right into this present last day. So God revealed to him a pattern that God has. Now the key given me of the Lord, whereby I was able to determine the messenger for each age, is a most scriptural one. In fact, it could be called the keystone of the Bible. It is the revelation that God never changes, and that his ways are as unchangeable as he is. Hebrews 13:8. Now, he's telling us this could be called the keystone of the Bible. This is the revelation that God don't change. And so, watch this revelation. Watch this revelation. First, we're going to put a scripture in here. He takes us to Ecclesiastes 3:14-15. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. And nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. God doeth it, that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been. And God requireth that which is past. Here it is, an unchanging God with unchanging ways. What he did at the first, he will have to keep on doing until it is done for the last time. There will never be a change. Apply that to the church ages. Now, Brother Branham is putting this in the church ages. And so, and that's how I've always preached this quote. Until now. Until now, I don't want to just apply it to the church ages. I want to apply it to Genesis to Revelation. Because, yeah, it applies perfectly to the church ages, and he explains how it does. But it also applies from Genesis to Revelation that he's the same and that he never changes. He does everything exactly the same. And so the problem is when man interprets that, man interprets it like this. He says, and this is what we ran into, especially 30 years ago, 40 years ago. That was the big argument, that now we have a prophet, God has raised him up, and so now we were beginning to see that he brought a message. And so the problem was, people had scripture. People had scripture of Paul, and Paul said, though I or an angel from heaven come and preach any other gospel than what's already been said, let him be accursed. And then they would go to Revelations and say the prophecies of this book, you can't add to it and you can't take away from it. And then some would even go back to the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, and the scripture says you can't add to this and you can't take away. So therein lies the problem. So if Paul was bringing a revelation from God, then the people of that day were bringing the scripture of Moses and saying, you cannot add to this. You cannot add anything to this. This is here. It's permanent. It's forever. God don't change. And that's the same thing repeated again in the New Testament. Paul said the same thing. What this revelation that we have, you come and preach anything different and you'll be cursed. And so, but we come right down to the end time. And our prophet is telling us, as all of those did down through the ages, that we have a revelation now that had not been known from the foundation of the world. It had never been known. And so then, and as I was saying concerning years ago, it was a big push that what Brother Branham said was okay as long as Paul said it. As long as Paul said it, as long as they could back it up with Paul, then that was okay. Now that's exactly, the prophet is going to destroy that. He's going to destroy that whole idea. And we've read before what Brother Branham said, when a gift comes on the earth and the people preaching come with the same idea that we've always had. He said, you know that's not God. He said, that's not God. He said, if God sends a gift, if God sends the revival, if God does something supernatural on the earth, he said, it's going to be something new. Something new is about to happen. A new message is coming. And I'm going to tell you, and I don't know if I've read this before. I'm sure you've read it. But Brother Branham said in the message, the voice of the sign. And I used it a lot there, and I seen where Brother Michael had used it some. And then when I first left, he was in that message proving his word, and I was reading some of those quotes. And at the end, I seen where he was using that message, the voice of the sign, and I had been using that message all the way through. Of course, he didn't know it because the messages wasn't broadcast. But Brother Branham said in that message, he said, if God sends a gift on the earth, if God sends something on the earth, and he said, it's the same old thing. He said, you know, that's not God. He said, it has to be something new. And then he said, it has to be something they don't understand. How about that? It has to be something they don't understand. Hey, in Moses' day, they didn't understand what was going on. In Noah's day, they didn't understand what was going on. In every age, when Jeremiah comes, they didn't understand what this guy's doing. They had some prophet out there. He's laying on his side for so many days. He lays on the other side for so many days. Another prophet's marrying a prostitute. Completely against the word of God. That was against the word of God. But God was doing something new.
That's right.
God was shaking the whole thing up. And that's what God does every time.
Amen.
Every time he's doing something new. And that's a pattern. That's how God don't change.
Yes,
see, here it is. Now let's see. Here it is, the unchanging God with unchanging ways. What he did at the first, he'll have to keep on doing until it is done for the last time. There will never be a change. Apply that to the church ages. So the kind of man God chose for the first age and how God manifested in that man's ministry would be the example for all other ages. What God did in the first church age is what he wants to do in all other ages. That's right. So I have here in Deuteronomy, and I'm just gonna leave it with you, where he says you're not to add to it, you know, and you can't take away from it. You're gonna be in trouble. Moving on down, page 66, paragraph 4 in the Ephesian Church Age. Now we know exactly from the Word, which was recorded by the Holy Spirit, how the first or the original church was founded, and how God manifested himself in her. The Word can't change or be changed because the Word is God. See? And he gives us the scripture, John 1:1. In the beginning is the Word is with God, the Word is God. So you can't change God because he's the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can put those two scriptures right together because they go right together. See, to change one word of it as Eve did, see, brings sin and death, even as it says in Revelations 22, 18 and 19. If any man add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. Thus, what the church was, listen close to this now, what the church was at Pentecost is the standard. That is the pattern, and there is no other pattern. No matter what the scholars say, God has not changed that pattern. And what God did at Pentecost, he has to keep on doing until the church age is closed. Now, all of what he said is being used by many people to hold that idea that nothing can be said except what Paul said. But they don't relate at all the fact that what Moses said was completely done away with in Paul's day.
That's right.
The whole covenant, the whole revelation, all of what they were doing, Paul put it completely to rest, said it's fulfilled, it's no longer in effect, it's no longer God's way, although they kept doing it. But he's telling them, you're dead to that, you can't have it, you must separate from that. All the way, even to the circumcision. He took it all the way from them and told them it's finished. And they had scripture that said, God don't change. You can't change this. We come right in the New Testament, the same thing repeats all over again. Brother Branham said exactly the same thing. And that's the reason why, when he comes in that same message there at Miserable Union, and he says the word that fell on the day of Pentecost will not work today. He wasn't joking. He meant exactly what he was saying. He was saying we're in another day. And when he gave us the example, he said, just as the word of Moses would not work in the days of Paul. That's what he's saying about Pentecost. That's how much Pentecost will not work today. That's how much what was happening in the church ages will not work today. And so here the idea is people misinterpret it. And the idea is that nothing else can be done today except what Paul said, which that doesn't even make sense because God has been adding all the way through. And so, look, let's go to the scripture. I got a lot of scripture here. And chapter 16, verse 24, Romans. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. Now he's saying the same thing again. He's saying the same thing. Paul is identifying the revelation of his day. And he's identifying the revelation of his day had not been known from the foundation of the world. He's identifying that the things that he's preaching had never been known, never been spoken, never been there before.
Amen.
And so, and this is exactly where people get hung up. And they try to come against this in every age. But it's in every age that God is doing the same thing. Exactly the thing. The very thing that they're fighting against. The very thing that they'll go to the scripture and think that they are holding onto the scripture. Another thing I wanted to get out of verse 25 here is Paul declaring that this is his gospel. He's saying, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. My gospel. And that's pretty bold. But Paul, as I heard somebody say earlier, talking about, I don't know if Brother Michael mentioned it, but I think I read something just right before service that Brother Chris had put on, and talking about Brother Branham knowing his ministry, knowing what God had called him for, knowing that these mysteries was to be revealed by him. And he put a quote or something on there, but I had several scriptures here, and that was, I was debating, I had put in here, but always second guessing myself. And so he put that there, and I thought, that's exactly. And so Paul here had the revelation. He had the revelation that this, what he was preaching, was the gospel of salvation to the people of that day.
Amen.
That the only way people were going to know God in that day was by this revelation that he was bringing to them, that this was it. And I thought that is bold, but that's exactly where every one of us should be.
Amen.
That's exactly where we should be. We should be walking in this revelation. This is the gospel of our salvation.
Amen.
This revelation is the thing that is going to help people. This is the only thing. They're not going to get it. There's not a 100 ways to God. There's one way. There's one revelation. And it's in the bride. It's this message that came through this prophet, and now it's living in this bride. And so this is our gospel. This is the gospel of our salvation. We're standing just like Paul did. We're standing just like Brother Branham did. This is ours. We're a part of it. We're a part of it. That's it. He's the Word. We're the Word.
Amen.
Verse 26. But now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Amen. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, and for this cause, I have several scriptures here I'm going to try to get in. We still have a little bit of time. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Praise God.
Amen.
Whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. See, still calling it his.
Yep.
Calling it his. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, and remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. And for our... we went from 2 Thessalonians to 1 Thessalonians. All right. Chapter 1, verse 5. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Now, this scripture has got to be us too. These things that I'm reading, we have a revelation. We have a message. We have a gospel. We have a gospel of salvation for the people of this day. It's a revelation. It comes by revelation. It's not what they've done in other ages. It's not what they did in the church ages. No, this is bride food. It's spiritual food in due season. And so this is for us. And so it come in power. It come in the power of the resurrection. And it come by the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And so that's got to be. It's got to be. In every one of us, it's got to be. That power, that same power, it's manifesting in your life. Listen how Paul words this, verse 6. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord. Just the way he says it. And you became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. See, so that we were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. And see, and so what's he doing? He's identifying. He's making, Brother Branham said, the message and the messenger is one and the same. One and the same. The bride and the groom is one and the same. They're not different. They're one and the same. It's the same eternal life. It's the same revelation. It's the same word. It's the same, that part of the body, it's Christ. It was Christ in every age. That part of the word that was coming, that part of the body that was coming, that was Christ in the believers, the seed of that day, coming to manifestation. And in this day, coming to manifestation. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. We have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel, whose gospel? Our gospel. If our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. They don't want it. They don't like it. They want to fight it. It's hid to them that are lost. This gospel, our gospel, it's the revelation of the day. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who's the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. We're not preaching ourselves, but this is our gospel. We're a part of this thing. We're one with this thing. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power of God and not of us. Amen. You see, he separates it. He knows who's doing it, but he knows he's a part of it. And he knows what he's been called for. In Romans chapter 2, in verse 13, be not hearers of the law, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, and their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or excusing one another. Think about that. Remember, I put the scripture here when we read, I told you we were going to get this again, 1 Corinthians 2:15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. See? And here, that's what he's talking about. Amen. He's saying their thoughts, the meanwhile, accusing or excusing one another. What are they? They're led by the Spirit. They're walking in the revelation. It's the Word living in them, manifesting in them. And it's bringing them in complete subjection to the Word of God. Bringing this body. Last verse, verse 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to what? My gospel.
Amen.
My gospel.
Yes.
Amen. What did he say in this day? Know you not the saints shall judge the earth?
Amen.
Here in this message, in the voice of the sign, he talks about the voice of the gospel. And I'm going to skip over that. And I'm just going to read. I'm going to continue in these scriptures. I just got a couple more scriptures here. So, 2 Timothy 2:7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. You know, that's the revelation, or part of the revelation, that what Paul was getting over to the people of that day. And so he... you know, some of those groups, they didn't even believe in the resurrection. Well, some of them didn't believe in angels, some of them didn't believe in the resurrection, different things. So he was fighting all those spirits, just like our prophet was fighting all those spirits from the Baptists and the Pentecostals and the Presbyterians and the Catholics and all these different intellectual ideas. So he's fighting those things. He's bringing the revelation and he's declaring it. Is my gospel, my revelation, what God gave me, my ministry. That's the same ministry we have. It's the same gospel we have. It's the same revelation we have. It's just the veil, the vessel. It's just a different vessel now. Where it was in the prophet, now it's in a many-member bride.
Amen.
Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. This first chapter, you know, is just... It's loaded with a lot of great statements. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I keep reading this, and I'm gonna take some time and touch on the Godhead somewhere here, at least a service or two. And I realize that I don't know if I hope not here, but. I think sometimes maybe I confuse people making the statements that I make. And so I realize it's a deep subject, but at the same time, it's been revealed.
Amen.
It's been revealed. And I went a long time. I went a long time in this message before I understood what he was saying. And was reading it all the time and quoting it all the time and preaching it all the time, but didn't really have the revelation of it. And Brother Branham said that God is not one like your finger. And I remember when we were leaving West Phucat, or one night, one of the brothers brought us home. It was late at night and we couldn't, it was late. And so, we were about 30 minutes from the town, so we're in this little village, and there's no motorbikes. They all went home, or they all were busy, or whatever. So we stood out there on the road for a long time, and nobody was there. So the brother was going to take us home. He had a vehicle, and so we're going back, and we're talking, and we just get to talking, and I'm just answering some questions, and so it comes by the Godhead, and I'm like, I just quoted that scripture, or that quote, and said, Brother Branham said that God is not one like your finger, and I'm sitting in the front with the driver, the brother, And he just, I could tell he went into a deep thought. And then he slowly repeats, he said, God is not one like my finger. And so I thought, I'm wondering, am I confusing people by making those statements? And so I want to put it on record. And Brother Branham, when he finally come, when I finally realized it, I realized that most people in the message are oneness and they don't even know it. They don't even know it. And so, and you say, well, there's only one. That's exactly right. There's only one. But how is he not one like your finger? That's the revelation. That's the revelation right there. And so Brother Branham said, Jesus was not his own father. He said, Jesus had a father. And that's exactly the revelation Paul had. That's the same revelation that Paul had. He said, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He had the revelation. And so, I'd like to take some time on that just real soon here. I want to talk about that. So verse 4, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood and the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will. Now, Paul's identifying the same thing again that he was talking about a while ago in Romans and what he was bringing out of Isaiah. He's saying the same thing. He's made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. All that's in him, that's what he's going to gather together. All that's in him, he's going to gather it together. He's going to bring it together in the fullness of time. Amen. So this is the time he's bringing it all together, because the fullness has come. The body is complete. So all the word now has come all together. The body's complete. All the revelation, all the spirit, the fullness of the spirit, the fullness of the word, the fullness of the body, all the fullness of the whole thing now, brought, made manifest. Amen. Verse 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Huh? Not another day.
Right.
This day. Your day.
Yeah.
The gospel of your salvation. This is the only thing that's going to work for you today. You're not going to get it off of Pentecost. You're not going to get it off of Paul.
Amen.
He made that too clear. He said, the word that fell on the day of Pentecost, that back there won't work for you today. No, you're going to come today strictly by revelation. Strictly by the revelation of these mysteries hidden from the foundation of the world. That's the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise.
Amen.
So, They had it. They had the Holy Spirit. And they were sealed by the Holy Spirit. And they had the truth. They had a message. They had a revelation for their day. And that's what they received. And that's all they could receive. But there's so much more. The fullness of it came in this day. The fullness of the Spirit. The fullness of the Word. It's unveiled. He's unveiled today. The mystery. And this part of the mystery is just like that part of the mystery. That part of the mystery had been hidden since the foundation of the world. This part of the mystery had been hidden from the foundation of the world. Amen. And that's how he doesn't change. He has revealed a new part in every age. He's added and added and added. He doesn't change. He does the same thing every time. Bring something new, something new, something new. Amen. Amen. Praise be to his name. Let us stand together. We just thank God. Amen. I'm going to ask Brother Richard if he'll come and dismiss us in a word of prayer tonight. Just be praying one for another. Amen. God bless you, brother. Praise God.
That was a good message, Joe. I never heard it go that deep before. Been around a long time, and I've never heard it kind of explained like that. And something to look at, and something we can feed on. I appreciate it. Somebody done some hard work, some hard praying, but it's a good revelation.
Amen.
Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, we feel like you spoke to us tonight, Lord. And appreciate it, Lord. Ask that you would bless our brother, Lord, and strengthen him, Lord. And something like that probably took a lot out of you, but I ask that you bless him, Lord, and strengthen him, Lord, and be with him. Father, be with everyone under the sound of your word, Lord, and strengthen them, Lord, and give them safe passage home, Lord, rejoicing in the word they've heard, Lord, because you spoke to us. We ask now that you bless everyone in the sound of your voice. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.